Before we start the interview, here is our disclaimer. This interview is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The Daily Gold has received a fee to cover the cost of production and distribution. The Daily Gold has complete editorial control over the interview and final recording. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Daily Gold podcast. We have another company interview for you, and I'm really excited today. We have Michael Connert from Vizsla Silver on, and Michael is the founder and CEO of Vizsla Silver. And guys, this might be the best undeveloped silver asset or silver project owned by a junior right now, and that's why we have to talk about it, learn a lot more. Michael, I'll get right into it. You know, a couple of weeks ago, you could correct me on the date, you published a new resource estimate for Panuco. And I mean, the total number of ounces, gold and silver, silver equivalent, the grade, I mean, it's really outstanding. Number one, can you cover that for us? And then secondly, the company has not been around for that long. How were you guys able to acquire this project? And then only within, you know, 3 or 4 years, suddenly you have, you know, 300 million ounces of silver equivalent.
Well, the short answer to that is that we're fortunate, and you know, we were able to consolidate a very prospective high grade district for the first time in modern history, apply modern techniques to it, and make big discoveries. And as you said, it's now well over 300 million ounces of silver equivalent in indicated and inferred. We're about actually majority indicated now. In our resources, and all very high grade, a global grade of about 467 grams per ton silver equivalent at the 150 gram per ton cutoff. So at a low cutoff, you know, very good grade, very good size. As you bring that cutoff higher, you get minimal metal loss and you get a substantial increase in grade. So what we're seeing here is that this resource that we have has, you know, the rarest of things. It has size. It has many ounces, many hundreds of millions of ounces, actually the largest undeveloped high-grade silver resource out there. It has grade. It certainly leads the developer category in grade. And it has, you know, the right reactions to increase in cutoffs, which, you know, is a bit more technically advanced, but it means that as we move towards development, the project will respond very well to that. So yes, it is really quite an impressive resource that we have.
Okay, and I want to talk about the exploration upside a little bit later, but first, let's talk about the valuation. I know it's moved up a little bit recently, but, and I know you share the same view, but just in recent months, and even after the resource, every time I've looked at it, I've thought to myself, I mean, I know we're not in a great silver market, but geez, look at the ounces and the grade. I mean, this should be trading at a higher valuation. I mean, not to say that it should be double or triple where it is, given where the silver price is. But even in a really tough market for juniors, it seems like the valuation's a little bit too low. Give me some color on why do you think that is? I mean, is there an opportunity to bring that up?
Well, in my mind, there's a huge opportunity to bring that up. And I've been quoted as saying this is criminally undervalued. And I think even despite this nice rally that we've had recently, we're still quite undervalued. And, you know, it all comes down to, and I didn't really fully answer your question from the beginning, and I think it's a good opportunity to do that. It all comes down to the fact that, you know, like you said, I'm the founder of the company. I started it back in 2017, took it public in 2018. And then we spent, you know, a number of years looking for the right project. We came across this asset. It had been owned privately by Mexican mining companies, basically, you know, over its modern history. And it dates back 450 years to the Spanish, but it had never been systematically explored. It had kind of small amounts of drilling here and there over the years, but maybe 30 drill holes in total, nothing crazy. But it had substantial historic production. And, you know, when we got to the project, we went underground, we saw some of these big void spaces. We looked at you know, the grades, the historic grades in the area. And we realized that this was kind of a hidden gem. And when I say hidden gem, it was kind of hidden in plain sight because it was off the side of a highway in Sinaloa, Mexico. And we went down there, actually spent about a year bringing all of these pieces together, consolidating really in effect two halves of this district. And from that point on, we went off and made a number of very, very high grade, large scale discoveries on veins that were thicker than the average vein in Mexico. Our main structure is about five times the average thickness of a structure in Mexico, and you know, four or five times the grade that you typically see. So combination of scale, new discoveries, big thick veins and high grades really drove value for us early on. And you know, we actually we hit our highest share price when silver was you know, in kind of a bull market there during the squeeze. We didn't even own the property. We had an option on the property, and we had no resources. So we kind of got ahead of ourselves back then. Since then, we put out three resource statements that have basically grown by 100 million ounces each time. And that was over 3 years. So we went from, you know, nothing, exploration on option agreements, to owning the property, to having the world's largest undeveloped high-grade silver resource. And you know, our share price is clawing back to where it was back in 2020 and 2021. So yeah, I think we are absolutely undervalued. I think we're undervalued in the context of the market that we're in right now. But I do see that our EV per ounce metric and our relative value to other peer companies is actually increasing. So it's a bit of a stealth market for Vizsla right now, and I think the astute market participants have been buying the stock. You know, we have some very strong shareholders, and they're seeing what we see, which is Vizsla is gaining ground against the companies that used to be two or three times the market cap. And I think eventually we're going to be filling that spot as the developer of choice, the silver developer of choice. And you know, a place that SilverCrest was previously, a place that MAG Silver was previously. And typically, these companies trade for billions of dollars in market cap, not hundreds of millions. So I think that's where we're headed.
Okay, now let's talk about the exploration upside. Because I remember, I think it was last year, or maybe it was the things I was reading months ago, or maybe a year or two ago, you already had something like 200 million ounces of silver equivalent. And I believe that you were guiding for, you were able to show a big increase. Like there's more exploration upside. And you did it. I mean, it seems like that's rare in the industry that we're in. So I commend you for following through. You know, setting a big target and you guys hit the, and I believe you still think there's exploration upside. So, like I said, you're already at 300 million ounces of silver equivalent. And for me, I only count the gold and silver in the silver equivalent, because too many times you look at companies where, oh, they have 500 million ounces of silver equivalent and the silver is like 15%. It's just a smattering of so many base metals. So this is pure gold and silver, what you guys have, but you know, enough with my diatribe. So, you know, 300 million ounces of silver equivalent. Now, I mean, just maybe paint a picture of the upside. I mean, how do you get, I don't want to put, you know, words or numbers in your mouth, but how do you get to 350, or is there even potential to take it beyond that?
Well, I firmly believe that this is a billion ounce silver district. So the best comparison is San Dimas, which is about 80 kilometers away on the same trend as us. And San Dimas really was a cash flow engine, not only behind Goldcorp, but it was, you know, the initial asset that really built Goldcorp. It was also the stream that built Silver Wheaton. So there still is a stream off San Dimas, and it produced 600 million ounces of silver and 11 million ounces of gold. So one of the 9 billion ounce silver equivalent districts in Mexico, one of the 15 in the world. So already we know that Mexico is you know, more likely than other countries to have billion ounce districts. You're also quite likely to find these major billion ounce districts in trends. And so we're about 80 kilometers away. We have the same age mineralization, the same geology, the same types of rocks. And what I expect here is that, you know, we'll go from 300 million ounces. There's 100 million ounces of historic production. You know, we're getting close to that half billion ounce mark. We've only explored 8% of the veins that we know about in this district. So we have our work cut out for us in terms of blue sky exploration. You know, that is to say the resource that we have, which is already hundreds of millions of ounces, sits on less than 10% of the known strike in our area. we haven't really scratched the surface of exploration. We make new discoveries of veins, routinely. Before I was on this interview, I was just talking with our vice president of exploration and our COO, and they've gone in over the last year and mapped an incredible amount of new area, and we found new veins, new flatline veins that are similar to Copala. So I actually expect us to achieve, for let's just put it this way, for us to double the resource, I think is very possible. For us to move to 100 million to 1 billion ounces in the future, I think is a quite a likely opportunity for us to achieve. And I get to that conclusion because of the similarity to San Dimas and other billion ounce districts in Mexico.
Just a quick follow-up. Do you think that growth, the trajectory that you're on, is that going to be, I mean, the difficulty in achieving that? I mean, what could be, not that I'm doubting you, but I mean, could there be any potential difficulties, or is everything that you guys are seeing look very similar to what you saw beforehand that leads you to think, okay, we can continue to steadily grow the resource here without, a huge amount of challenges?
Well, I think, this will probably sound pretty logical, I suppose, but, at this point here, now that we've found over 300 million ounces of silver equivalent, I think there's a higher likelihood of us finding those additional hundreds of millions than there were, 2 years ago when we didn't have this understanding of the district. The challenge for us is to efficiently spend our drill dollars and also, especially, allocate our capital efficiently. So, that means we don't just have 12 rigs turning like we've had up to 14 rigs on the property in 2021. Now we have four. We're far more efficient with our drilling. Our objective isn't just to keep drilling ad infinitum to the cows come home. We need to utilize our capital to basically de-risk the asset and move into production, and then continue to explore through cash flow. However, we are balancing that development capital with exploration as well. So, I think the challenges for us really have to do with the opportunities to go out there and making sure that we don't ignore exploration, making sure that we keep that blue sky upside in terms of discovery at all times. And so this year, we're going to continue to grow La Luisa, which is our most recent discovery. About a year ago, we made a discovery of La Luisa, and then that contributed to the resource substantially, all within a year. So our ability to turn a new discovery or a prospect into a discovery into resources can happen very quickly. It can happen basically in less than a year. But we also just need to make sure that we put our resources into discovery, which we're planning on doing.
Okay, so transitioning to the development status, but I like that you're even, well, the development stage, I should say, even you're going to continue to explore even as you go into that window. Is there any, I mean, with the future exploration, is there potential to find, I mean, can you focus on the higher grade stuff so that you're putting that into a potential mine plan? I guess, in other words, I'm fishing around here for the right question, but how can exploration continue to add value to a potential mine that you are looking at and thinking about over the next couple of years? So I guess I'm trying to say is, so you're not pigeonholed into, okay, well, this is what our AISC's going to be. This is how many ounces we're going to produce. If you catch my drift, I know that there was a lot of words for a, unbalanced question.
I get it. I absolutely. So, I think the best way to explain and describe this, we've got in the western portion of our district, we have what we call the center of mass. And the center of mass, if you were to drop a pin in the middle of it, it would sit between our two major structures, which are Napoleon and Copala. And you draw a 4 kilometer radius around that, and that would encompass about 95% of our resources right there. So exploration can take place within our center of mass there, and it can be meaningful. That could add to our mine plan. The mine plan basically now is off of the back of Napoleon and Copala, and it would be, if it put into production, some estimates from analysts would put us somewhere between the eighth and the third largest silver primary mine in the world. just based on that center of mass in the West. But when we were drilling for condemnation, for a mill site, and we did condemnation drilling, we found a new vein called the Molino vein. We made that discovery of La Luisa there. We will continue to make new discoveries, whether by drilling or by mine development in the West. There's no doubt about that to me. But what's really exciting, I think, is the idea that we could find one, two, three, four, five more centers of mass throughout the district. And we've identified the likely areas for that already based on our, prospecting, mapping, exploration, and in some cases drilling that we have to follow up on. And so we're working towards that. I think, in the future, you could see a true district scenario happen here where you have one mill sitting in between Napoleon and Copala producing an enormous amount of silver every year, funding the exploration and the development of other centers of mass throughout the district in the western, in the center, and the eastern block. And they could each have their own mills as well, too. It depends on basically efficiencies of transportation. So, I think, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, possible that we're in production in the first phase of the western area. But 10 years from now, I think this district could be producing with multiple mills across it. So what we do in order to do that is just, determine these areas, make these discoveries, focus on not only the highest grade areas, but the areas that have the most amount of volume and can contain the most amount of high margin ounces. So concentration of many ounces at high grades, I think, is very important.
Okay, so here's a better, I guess, more clear question. As you're going into the development stage, which scenario do you think, let's just say the silver price is where it is, which scenario is going to create more value? Is it showing a project where, I mean, I'm just throwing out, you can produce 20 million or 23 million ounces of silver equivalent. It's just this, it's this pretty big mine. Or is it, we're going to have like a really low cost project that only produces like 13 or 14 million ounces. Do you understand my thinking on that?
And the answer to that is that as a shareholder of the company and the core management team are all shareholders of this company, it's return on investment. So we will run a model, and it'll tell us, do we focus on a higher cutoff grade and less ounces at higher margin for, say, let's make up a number here, 14 million ounces a year and run that for 15 years? Or do we, focus on 12 years at, slightly lower grade for 19 million ounces or 20 million ounces? Or, it really has to do the limiting factors here. First of all, the most important thing is return on investment. So if we're going to spend the money to build the mill, we want to have the highest return on investment possible. The second limiting factor, or the limiting factor here, is mill feed. So, we can build a big mill, but can we feed it from the mine? And what we need is multiple faces operating there at Napoleon and Copala. If we find another structure that can feed the mine here, then that can allow us to expand it further. But we're looking at this all from the lens of return on investment. And I think that's the most important thing. This has all the hallmarks of being a very high margin, profitable mine, like a SilverCrest, although our scale is much larger than a SilverCrest. So that's where we're differentiated from that company. This is a district, not a project. And then you can look at something like a MAG Silver or Juanicipio. But this is something that kind of stands outside of both of those because it is truly a district. We have so much more upside here for exploration. And then we own the project 100%. This is our project, it's our company, and we control our destiny as it pertains to exploration. So it really does fill the place of that must-own developer company, I think, in the silver space.
Okay, and let's talk about 2024. What are the objectives this year? What are the things that shareholders and others can look forward to?
Well, we started the year strong. The first full week of January, we put out our updated mineral resource estimate. And before the end of the month, I suppose this morning, we announced Simon Cmrlec coming on as our COO. And Simon is one of the world's great mine builders. He ran Ausenco for the last 15 years and built probably 50 or 60 mines under the Ausenco banner. And before that, built Goro and worked at Olympic Dam, so he's very storied and extremely successful mine builder. So he just came on, and he'll be guiding the project towards PEA. So we'll have our PEA later this year, probably around the midpoint of the year. And then tying into that PEA, we'll do test mining at Copala and Napoleon, and that'll really inform. It'll do a couple of things. It'll inform and de-risk the project, so give us confirmation of our drilling at depth, and it'll also give us a bit of a head start as we move forward into production as well too. So it's a great de-risking tool for us. At the same time, we have some very exciting areas to the southeast of the project that we want to test. I won't say the names of the specific targets just yet, but I am confident that new discoveries will come in 2024, and that will grow our existing resource at La Luisa, Napoleon, and Copala. So it's a year of growth, it's a year of de-risking, and it's a year of improving the EV per ounce basis metric that we get as we continue on here. And I think still, even if we were at $2 or $3 an ounce, we'd still be EV per ounce, we'd still be criminally undervalued. So there's a lot of room for us to grow here.
Okay, Michael, and before I forget, let's talk about Mexico and permitting. There's a lot of concern out there. Talk about what your experience has been so far, how you think things could go over the coming years. And also, is this going to be only an underground mine? Might there be some open pit? What do you say?
So in Mexico, it's a heck of a lot easier to permit an underground mine, and Panuco, our project, will be an exclusively underground mine. And as a matter of fact, we've had success with permitting our test mine already. So the mining development at test mine has been permitted. I think that's a great indication that we should see success at Panuco with our permitting endeavors. We've been permitted for it's almost 1,000 drill holes, almost 325 kilometers of diamond drilling we've done so far. So, we believe that Mexico is an incredible place to build a mine. Of course, Juan Escipio and Las Chispas were both built in this administration here. I suspect that the sentiment is going to change this year for mining in Mexico, and I think Visa will benefit from that. And you know what? It's I'd rather be in Mexico building a mine versus the United States or really anywhere. It's not getting easier anywhere, and Mexico is a fine place to build a mine.
Okay, Michael, and as we wrap up here, and is there anything you want to comment on or mention that we didn't cover that you think is important?
I think we did a pretty good job here, but what I would say is that if anyone wants to hear more or schedule a meeting with us and our management team, reach out through our website. We love to talk to shareholders, and we'd appreciate any feedback.
All righty, Michael. Thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it. Wish you guys all the best. You're doing a fantastic job so far. And hopefully we could do this again later in the year. We could see how things are progressing.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you very much, Jordan.